The supernatural power of the kingdom of God is about to invade your world. Go in the power of God. Get extreme.
Welcome to Extreme Prophetic. My name's Patricia King. I'm glad that you've joined us for today's program. We have a special guest, Stephanie Fast, who is going to share her life story with us on how the Lord took her from a helpless little child into being set among the princesses of the world. Welcome to Insights. Today we have a very special guest, Stephanie Fast. And Stephanie, back in the 70s, I was at a Women's Aglow meeting, and you were sharing your testimony, and I cried through the whole thing because it was so rich in God's love and what He could do with a life, no matter what was against them, no matter what elements tried to destroy them, that He was able to intervene and bring forth tremendous victory. And so when we were putting this season together, I just so wanted to have you, because your testimony just portrays the heart of God for children at risk.
Yes.
And so I just want you to take this whole program and share your testimony.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. And I love sharing my testimony because it shows the grace of God. You know, the whole our walk with the Lord is how God poured His grace on us. And
exactly.
For me, I know from the time I was created in my mother's womb, God had a purpose for my life.
And your conception wasn't a normal conception.
No, it wasn't. Actually, my father was an American soldier that had gone to Korea to actually fight in the Korean War. And I know nothing about him except that he was a soldier. And somehow he got involved. We don't know the history of how he got involved with the woman that he did. And she got pregnant. And I don't even know if he knows I'm around to this day, but I believe I'm going to meet him in heaven.
Yes.
Because I pray for him every day. And I also pray for my birth mother, because I only knew her for the first 3-4 years of my life. And she gave me up, actually. I don't really know if I was abandoned or if she put me on a train hoping somebody would meet me on the other side and I didn't get off at the right station. You know, we don't really know the full true story, but I was basically abandoned around the age of 4 in South Korea. The war had just basically ended, and so there was no infrastructure of orphanages and other organizations that took the children in, so there were hundreds of thousands of children that were left as orphans.
And so what happened to you? Like, how did you survive?
God. It's God through and through. I mean, every time I tell my story, I'm just sort of reminded again of how when He says He has a sovereign plan for your life, that there is really nothing that can separate us from the love of God.
So when you say that you were abandoned, does that mean that you were just kind of thrown out, left on the streets?
I was left on the streets, yes.
And then other children looked after
well,
you?
Well, really, for the first little while, I sort of traveled on my own because I was trying to find my way home. You know, I found myself abandoned at a train station.
At four years of age.
I knew the train came one way, so if I just maybe walked the other way, eventually I would find my way home. But in the 50s, all the villages looked exactly the same. And every village that I went into, of course, my mom was not in that village. But what separated me from the other children was the fact that I was biracial. And it just made me different. And they had a name that they called girls like me, and that name was Tugi. And if you translate that into English, it means a child of dust or nothingness. Mm-hmm. And so that was my identity. You know, that's who I was.
That's what they named you.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I had a lot of harsh experiences living on the streets and going from village to village and being who I was. I think I was a reminder of a lot of the men of what their daughters had gone through. Although I looked like them, I didn't look like them. And so every time I came into a village, They wanted to get rid of me, you know. And now as an adult looking back, I realize the human nature and how often we do things in sin and we do things out of ignorance and out of rebellion. And I have no animosity towards the people that abused me as a child. But when you're a child, you don't understand those things.
You suffered a lot of abuse as a child on the streets?
I suffered a lot of abuse. I was beaten, I was raped, I was thrown into a well basically to drown, I was tied on a water wheel. The men purposely tried to drown me, and yet every time, God sent someone to rescue me.
So amazing, you know, like, I have a grandson, around 4, and I can't imagine him just walking through from village to village trying to find his mother. And then to be so maltreated, it's just, it's, you can't comprehend it.
No.
It's just too much. So there you were as this little child, day after day. Was it year after year?
Year after year for and about just, 3 years. Yes.
Just being abused every day, used. And how did you eat?
Well, you know, one advantage that I had was that I was traveling in the country most of the time. So summer, fall, spring, I could steal from the farmers.
Right.
But when the winter months came, and in South Korea, the winter months are really long and very harsh, and those were the really, really hard months. But again, God provided a way of escape for me. There were like, only way I know how to describe it would be like little caves that the American soldiers had dug out during the war to actually sleep in at night, and that sort of became my home. And I learned how to dress myself by the straw that the farmers left on the rice fields. I ate whatever locusts I could, rodents I could find, locusts that I could find, roots. I survived.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I remember years ago when you shared your testimony, hearing that you got sick, very sick on the street, and there was no one really to help you because the street kids had to basically look after themselves. And you basically were just going to curl up and die, I think, if I remember the story
actually,
correctly.
Actually, I was dying. I had actually been caught by some farmers from stealing food from their stalls, another little girl and myself, actually. And we were actually taken into a building that had been bombed out during the war. And they actually just threw us in there to die. And there was also a cholera epidemic that was going through. And I cannot tell you from this day how I escaped that building, but I was found on a garbage heap dying from cholera. And it was a World Vision nurse that found me on the garbage heap. And that's a whole story in itself.
Yeah, because she didn't actually go that way to work.
That's right.
She went another route, but the Holy Spirit told
her
to go that way.
That's right.
And then she saw you and decided to take you in.
That's right.
And to bring you to the orphanage, which was a miraculous intervention. Mm-hmm. We're going to hear the rest of this story on how God intervened on a little life that no one else cared about but Him. Mm-hmm. You know, the scripture says, when your mother and father forsake you, then the Lord will take you up. Amen. And we'll hear some more about that right after the break.
May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May He remember all of your sacrifices. May He give you the desires of your heart and make all of your plans succeed. We will shout for joy when you are victorious and lift up our banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant you all your requests.
Well, we're going to hear the rest of the story right now on God's intervention into a life that was just thrown out on a garbage heap and what he did to rescue that life and to see that life fulfill its destiny. Mm-hmm. So I can hardly wait to hear the rest of this story.
Well, you know, I was found on a garbage heap. I cannot tell you how I got there. I don't know how I got out of the building that I was thrown into. But the building that I was thrown into was just full of live rats. It was actually a building that was on the side of a river, and the gutter rats that came in, and we were actually thrown in there as live baits. And who came, rescued me, if I got out by myself, but I was found in a garbage heap. And the nurse that found me, actually, she never went home that way, and she was told not to go home that way because it was actually a landfill that they were filling in with garbage, but she felt prompt by God to go that way, and she found me. But her initial reaction was, I can't help her. She's too old for my clinic. She's too sick. I can't help her. And she told me the story that actually God spoke to her in an audible voice.
Wow.
And said, she's mine. She's mine. And when you think about that, the God of heavens that rules the universe, that uses this earth as a footstool, could look down on a piece of garbage mm-hmm. and say, she's mine.
Yeah.
That is such a message that God looks at every individual that is searching for him, no matter what our background, no matter what our name, no matter what our history,
right.
that he looks down when we have a heart to say, you know, she's mine. I have a purpose for even that garbage moment of her life. And she rescued me and basically nursed me back to life, placed me in a World Vision orphanage. At that time, of course, World Vision did not have the funds that they have now,
mm-hmm.
so they could not do a lot. And so, but she was determined that I should be adopted. And she found the missionary couple that was in the city that the orphanage was in, said, just come to the orphanage, just come to the orphanage. Well, I didn't know as they had gone to 6 orphanages before. And when they came into the orphanage, they saw me. By now, I'm 9 years old. I had lived on the streets for so long. Emotionally, I had no emotions whatsoever. I had scars on my face from the abuses that I had received. Because of malnutrition, my eyes did not look right at you. It sort of wandered all over my eye socket. I had boils from the lack of nutrition and being in the elements. So again, you know, people say, well, how come the orphanage didn't take care of all that? They just didn't have the funds. And they had thousands of children that needed to be taken care of. So I recognize that now. But for years, I even asked that same question, how come they didn't take care
yeah.
of me? But two things they did is they educated me, began to educate me, but the most important thing is they introduced me to the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, because of what I received on the streets, the concept of God so loving the world, I could not comprehend. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, I didn't know what love was. And if he loved, he couldn't love me because I had been told that I didn't belong anywhere, that I was garbage, that I was nothing. I was a tukey. I was a child of dust and nothingness. But when this couple came, they saw beyond the human scars and they saw beyond the emotional scars and they obeyed God. They
because
felt
I think they wanted a baby.
They
actually,
wanted
didn't
a baby boy.
But the Lord told them
that's
to
right.
take you.
That's right. Yeah. They actually argued with God for about 24 hours. They saw me and went back home and argued with God. And the Lord says,
bless
she's the one
heart.
For you.
Yeah. Bless their hearts.
Bless their hearts. That's right.
And so they took you to America?
They brought me to America, yes.
Mm-hmm. And raised you?
And raised
me. And how was that for them?
It was difficult. You know, I didn't realize I was being such a difficult child, but when I became an adult and we talked it through, I realized how difficult it was for them. For one thing, I couldn't bond. I didn't trust. I couldn't really believe the fact that they loved me.
Sure.
That there had to be some reason for it, but they just kept breathing God's love into me and just kept loving me unconditionally, disciplining me unconditionally, believing in me unconditionally. And it took about 6 years for them just going one day at a time. And
wow.
And my dad was a pastor, so of course in a pastor's home, you know, you seem like you go to church Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday,
sure.
and 10 times on Sunday. So I knew the word.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it all in my head, but it could not penetrate into my heart. And I just could not because I had so much bitterness. And why? You know, why God? Why God? Mm-hmm. Why God?
And hurting people hurt others.
That's right.
Even when we don't realize if we're unhealed within, mm-hmm. then it seeps out.
That's
and you don't even realize you're hurting people.
No,
and that's probably what was happening with you.
That's right. And testing. Mm-hmm. You know, I just, but eventually I heard God's voice through the love of my dad. And it was my dad that led me to the Lord. And I had heard the gospel message so many times, but I think, you know, the Lord just keeps knocking on the door of your heart, and there's just that time when the Spirit says, He's the truth, mm-hmm. and you open that door. And I'm so glad that I did. But for the first time, I saw Jesus Christ as a human man.
Wow.
That had walked in my shoes, that had experienced everything I had experienced, plus more. And he was without sin.
Mm-hmm.
And when I saw that humanness of Jesus, that he had been in a womb of a young girl, that there was a lot of questions, who is that baby?
Mm-hmm.
A little boy that had to escape for his life when he was two. A little boy that lived in a country that rejected him and called him a tukey. A young man that came back to his hometown but was rejected and despised. His best friends that rejected him and betrayed him and ran away from him. His countrymen that said, crucify him, mm-hmm. and hang him on the cross. And I saw the humanness, but then I saw the God,
mm-hmm.
that he was, that he so loved the world, that he was willing to lay down his life for me.
And so from that moment, things changed. I'm sure it was easier on your parents as well.
It was much easier on my parents. Of course, you know, for me, because there was just so much emotional scars, even after I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart, it was a lot of surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, that surrender stage just takes a little more time than others.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized that for me, I had to die to me.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I kept searching for Stephanie, I would always live as a little orphan.
Right.
But every day when I surrender Stephanie,
yeah.
I live in Christ.
It's so important to find our identity in Him.
Yes.
Not in our past or mm-hmm. even our expected future
mm-hmm.
or in what we do, but just basically in Him, that we are loved with an everlasting love.
Yeah.
We really are. And now I know that you're married mm-hmm. to a man of mm-hmm. God. And how did that all happen?
Well, you know, both our parents were missionaries, and so they sort of knew each other. My husband's parents were missionaries in Japan, and my parents, you know, went back and forth to Korea often. And so my father-in-law was actually doing seminars all over Asia, because the charismatic movement was going on in the 70s, and he was introducing the charismatic movement to Asia. And so he actually brought a team to Korea, and that's where I first met my husband. And we got married a couple years later.
That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah.
And you wanted to have children, but there was a problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, because of the sexual abuses, I didn't realize that actually my whole inside was damaged. I have what you call an upside-down split uterus, and that can only happen when you're sexually abused as a small girl. And, of course, I didn't know that until after I was married. And really, that was a part of my life that I didn't even share with my husband. I was so ashamed of it. But I lost, actually, 5 children at first stages of my pregnancy. And the doctor basically said there was no way I could carry a child full term. There's absolutely no way physically. But I have 2 biological boys. I lost 5 before my first one. And actually, through the birth of my first son, we were short-term missionaries in Japan. Our doctor gave his heart to the Lord, because
wow.
his explanation was, my God is science, and your body is not acting in the science way, you know. And he realized the miracle, and he gave his heart to the Lord. But even when I was pregnant with Stephen, I was diagnosed with cancer, and God miraculously healed me of cancer. Gave us a beautiful boy with 10 fingers and 10 toes and everything functioning, and he's getting married in a week and a half.
That's
and,
awesome.
And then we lost 3 more, and God miraculously gave us our little Davin, and he's not little anymore, but you know, he'll always be your baby.
Always.
Yes, and he's 20 years old now, a miracle of miracles. He was born in actually Vancouver, British Columbia, and We had a whole team of doctors waiting because they thought for sure there would be such major problems. But he was born perfectly, and God intervened in a miraculous way. It's such a long story in itself. I was basically miscarrying when a team of women began to pray for me 24 hours around the clock, and he just hung in there in a way that we can't even explain, except that it was God.
Wow.
And I carried him for the whole 9 months, and yeah.
So, Stephanie, this is an amazing story mm-hmm. because you're this throwaway child mm-hmm. who, by the grace of God, mm-hmm. survived on those streets.
Yes.
And at the point where the enemy just about snuffed you out completely, the Lord intervened
yes.
and brought you into this haven mm-hmm. of love and nurture where you could find Jesus
yes.
and then called you to be married to a man of God, put a ministry of love mm-hmm. inside of you, mm-hmm. a testimony that you've shared all over the mm-hmm. world, given you two boys, given you a good life,
yes.
and you're absolutely radiant and beautiful. I remember when I first saw you, because I was a brand new Christian mm-hmm. when I first heard you years ago, and I couldn't get my eyes off of you because you were so gorgeous mm-hmm. to look at. Mm-hmm. And I thought, Lord, you take us out of the ash heap mm-hmm. and you make us so beautiful,
right.
so radiant. Mm-hmm. And I want to minister to those of you that are watching this program mm-hmm. right now that perhaps for whatever degree of pain and suffering that yeah. you've been through, or maybe you felt like a throwaway child. Mm-hmm. You felt like you had no purpose, no destiny, no meaning, no one cared about you. But God has always had his eye on you.
Yes.
And what he did for Stephanie, he can do for you. He can do for anyone. And the Lord wants to come inside your heart right now. And if you don't know him as your personal Savior and Lord, just call out to his name
yes.
right now and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Mm-hmm. And he will.
Yes,
Jesus, come and cleanse me. Come and take away all my sin. Come and give me a new life. Come and heal all the bruises.
Mm-hmm.
And he will. And if you will cry out to him, he is the lover of your soul.
Yes.
Your father and your mother and maybe everyone else in the whole world has forsaken you. But your God has not forsaken you. And he's knocking on the door of your heart right now. And if you received him as your Savior, I want you to just start thanking him right now for being your God and for writing your name
yes.
in his book of life in heaven. And if you want to go to our website at extremeprophetic.com to the Meet Jesus online section, there's even new Christian Bible studies up there and everything for you. And you can write testify at extremeprophetic.com. Mm. Let us know who you are and that you accepted Jesus, and we'll get you some more material and we'll
yes.
love on you and pray for you. But there's others of you that just need a really deep healing in your heart because of abuses of the past. And I'm going to have Stephanie pray for you in just a moment. But just bring your heart before Jesus right now, because no matter what's happened to that heart, he can heal it.
Yes.
So can I have you just pray quickly right now? Thank you.
Father God, we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that comes to us the moment we invite you into our heart. And Lord, the Holy Spirit that reveals truth, that reveals shows us a future and a hope. Father God, I thank you because you knew us in our mother's womb. Lord, you knew the element that we were going to be born into. You knew the home that we were going to be born into. You knew the life that we were going to have. And that's why you gave us Jesus, so that we would know hope. Lord, that one, you knew us from the beginning, and you would say, one day I will knock on the door of my sister's heart, my brother's heart. And when we answered yes, you would come in and you would sup with us and you would never leave us. Father, you've said that you will never leave us as an orphan ever again, that you will always believe in us, that you will always cheer for us, that you will always provide for us. And so, Lord, for each one that is watching, I pray that they would take that step of faith to say, he is the answer, he is the way, he is the only hope that I have. And Lord, when they say yes, you would do that instantaneous work where your light shines in the darkness, where you go to the secret places and the dark places, where you illuminate your light, and only you can do it. So, Lord, we are believing with faith for our brothers and sisters that are stepping out right now saying, I choose life. I choose Jesus. I choose His way. So, Lord, we thank You and we praise You for the work that You will do and You have already done. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I just want to finish with this one scripture out of Job 29. He said, because I delivered the poor who cried for help and the orphan who had no helper, the blessing of the one ready to perish came upon me, and I made the widow's heart sing for joy.
Amen.
Bless you.
Destiny Words are prophetic words of encouragement from the heart of God just for you.
Your heart's breaking and there's an emotional stirring on the inside of you. And there's this longing for a parent, a longing for your biological parents that's just stirring up in you right now. And the Lord's showing me that Thanksgiving is your key. And even as you were watching this program, even though the longing has been surfacing, there's this thanksgiving that has surfaced as well. You're saying, I'm so thankful, Lord. I'm so thankful that You watched over me, even when, you know, I didn't have anyone to comfort me as I was crying myself to sleep at night, even though it wasn't like it could have been. It was better also than it could have been too. And this thanksgiving is rising up on the inside of you. And what I'm sensing the Lord say, that as you praise Him and as you thank Him, more and deeper healing is going to come to your heart. And I see the Father's heart and his arms kind of just hovering over you like wings, almost just hovering over you and giving you comfort and strength at this time. And so there's a mixture of emotion going on in you, but the Lord is all over you at this time. So just enjoy Him and glean from that. And there's also someone who's been watching this program that you actually gave your child over for adoption. And you were watching this program and you are undone. You're crying and you're thinking, how could I have done that? And where's my baby? And, you know, and you're just stirred right now. And what I want to say right now is, first of all, just draw close to God, because He understands what you're going through and He's going to comfort you. But I also sense that a real divine appointment's going to come up and that there's going to be some real restoration for you as well. And so just snuggle close to the daddy heart of God. Just snuggle close to Him right now. Let Him comfort you and then believe Him for this divine appointment. And I'm not going to say exactly what that is. I'll leave that up to the Father to reveal to you, but it is going to be good. There's also a little girl watching the program and you have a little kitty cat and you're just hugging that little kitty cat right now. And this story really touched your heart, honey. And what I'm seeing is that you have a real call to missions and there's a compassion ministry within your heart. And you just feel a lot of love for people and even for little animals and things like that. And the Lord's going to raise you up with a real heart to care for the poor. And that as you grow older, you'll be even caring for some orphans and those that don't have a mommy and daddy. And so may the Lord bless you, sweetie. He really has His hand on you.
XBmedia.com.